Hello, welcome to a new episode of Reads with Danny Shi. Today is December 10th, a Friday. And first of all, thank you to Corey and Ollie for coming on the show earlier this week to talk about their reactions to the 2021 Taiwan series. And I thought that was a really fun way to finish up what happened in 2021 and the 2021 season overall. And I think it's about time to look forward to 2022. And almost immediately after the Taiwan series, the industry has shifted towards 2022. About a week after Game 4 of the series, the CPBL released the FA, the players who are eligible to file for free agency this offseason. There is a quite a complicated rule for CPBL players to claim free agency, and after claiming free agency, their transfer fee and all of that. I'm going to get into that later. That's big story number one so far. The other one is the Fubon Guardians. As of Thursday, the US time, so Friday local time, that they announced that they will have a new head coach for 2022. They also have a new GM, and the former manager of the team, which is Hong Yizhong, the famously took the Lamigo Monkeys to a three-peat from 2017 to 2019, will step down, but he will remain with the Fubon Guardians as an advisor, which is about as vague of a title as it comes. But because when he first signed with the Guardians after the 2019 season, it was a three-year deal, and we've only gone through two of those years, so he has a year left on his contract, and I think that might be part of the reason why he's staying with the Fubon organization for another year at least. But so new manager, a new GM, the former GM of the Fubon Guardians is part of the family of the ownership that owns the entire Fubon Financial Corp, and he also is the GM for the Fubon Braves, which is the Fubon basketball team and all that. So he had a lot of jobs and decided to step down from the baseball GM role, and the Fubon Guardians went out and hired Lin Huawei, which is a legendary figure in Taiwanese baseball. I think he should have resigned after taking this role, but he was the principal of let me try to find the official name of the school. It's like National Taiwan Athletics University. Let me see what's the National Taiwan University of Sport. That is their the official name, but it's essentially one of the largest university in Taiwan that focuses on developing athletes and professional players and etc. So Lin Huawei was the principal for that university. He's also the first ever GM, first ever manager, sorry, the first ever head coach to manage Team Taiwan Chinese Taipei in the World Baseball Classic in 2006. So he's just a legendary figure. And so he's taking over the Fubon Guardians GM role. But with that change and with the change with the manager, there's a lot of positions that needs to be filled, a lot of positions that needs to be figured out. And so far, I think the concrete confirmations, information that we have about the Fubon Guardians is that they have a new GM, they have a new head coach, which is, they announced yesterday, will be Chou Changrong, who managed the 2020 CTBC Brothers team, was a long time bench coach for the CTBC Brothers. Also managed the CTBC Brothers in 2020, led them to a Taiwan series, but fell to the Lions in the 2020 Taiwan series and all of that. It's an interesting hire. I think it's a good hire. I think it out of all of the head coaches, my opinion is this: there really isn't anybody that can have the same level of buzz as when the Guardians hired Hong Yi-Zhong back in 2019. Like, Hong Yi-Zhong is still by far the number one manager in Taiwanese baseball as of right now. Now, it took a hit, the last 2 years, not great, and it's there've been clubhouse rumors in the organization ever since he took over, but those happened before he took over as well. So it was a whole cultural thing within that organization. You can't really just blame on the head coach by himself. And so I think that's why it's a good it's a good choice to also change the GM of the team and he's more full-time GM than the previous one, because he had multiple jobs and multiple really highly intense high octane jobs, and now you have a full-time GM, knows baseball very very well, knows Taiwanese baseball very very well, and I think that will help the Fubon Guardians to install a new culture into the organization, and then with a really good hire, and out of all of the head coaches right now, I think Chou Changrong might be one of the few that has head coach experience, even though it's not a lot of head coaching experience, managing the Brothers for just a year, but he's been in the CTBC Brothers organization as a coach since 2014. So it's like he's been there for 7 years. So he's definitely has an abundance of experience coaching players and stuff like that. But the most immediate challenge, not just for the head coach, but for the entire organization, for the Fubon Guardians, is one, how much power are you giving the manager, to manage this team? Is it going to be too many cooks in the kitchen, or are you letting the head coach do everything by himself? And that is a tough situation to make, because Chou Changrong only has 1 year of experience managing a baseball team, and based on what I was observing, I didn't think Chou Changrong had total power with the Brothers when he managed the Brothers in 2020, and largely also because he was a first year manager, so he had a lot of help from a lot of people within the organization, within his coaching staff. And will he be taking a similar role with the Fubon Guardians? And if he doesn't take a total power, with the Fubon Guardians, can he really do an effective job from managing the clubhouse without a lot of scandals? I mean, again, this Fubon Guardians team has a clubhouse scandal once every year, dating in the last for the past 5 or 6 years, and that's a toxic culture that needs a very strong leadership, very very strong leadership, especially within the clubhouse, to fix. And this is also a team that has a lot of veterans and a lot of high paid players with a lot of ego. That's the same for many many teams, but for the Fubon Guardians, I think that has really become one of the problems on this team. And And last year, we've seen how Hojinjong is trying to play more younger players, or but at, there are numerous times you can tell he's trying to remove the team from relying too much on veterans. But the next generation, the so-called the from the 23 to 28-year-old class, the Li Zhongxian, the Shen Haowei, the Wang Zhengtang of the world, Chen Shipeng, You Tingwei, you can name them all. They just never really stepped up. And it's a really tough situation to fix. To be fair, they were also fighting, playing with their one of their hands tied behind their back with only just two foreign players. So they have a lot of improvements to be made, especially short-term improvements. You know, if you hire good, reliable foreign pitchers that won't catch you by surprise by leaving the team without much notice, that's definitely going to help you in being able to compete in the CPBL. There are just a lot of cultural issues that needs to be fixed. And in my opinion, that is not a one, not, you know, looking back at the Fubon Guardians head coaches, there are a lot of 1-year coaches. Hojinjong was only given 2 years. And hopefully, with Cho Chang and the new organization and new leadership within the organization, they'll be given a little bit more time to fix, because I don't expect the Fubon Guardians to jump out and compete for a Taiwan series in the next. I don't see them doing 2022, despite being normally always the best team on paper, but they haven't drafted particularly well in the last couple years. Last 3 or 4 years. Last year was all right, but not the last 3 or 4 years previous to that. And they've always tried to build the best team on paper, and it just hasn't worked out besides 2018. But they lost to the Lions in the playoff series, so we'll see. That's the verdict. That's my opinion on the Fubon Guardians. I really wanted to focus more on the FA for this episode, but since there's so much news about the Fubon Guardians in the last couple of days, and the fact that they really actually finally announced not just the GM but the head coach in the last couple of days, especially like yesterday, they announced that Cho Chang will be taking over the head coaching job. I feel like I don't want to wait till next week to talk about this Fubon Guardians change in power, but I kind of haven't put so much thought into this as much as the FA list, which I'll be getting into very shortly. But I'm happy for Cho Chang to finally get another shot at it. Didn't really get a fair shot with the brothers, in my opinion. But the brothers kind of knew they were going to have Ning Weizhu taking over the team sooner or later. So with them losing in the series again in 2020, that gave the organization a reason to do it, to pull the trigger. And a lot of credit to Cho Chang for taking it and not only stepping down, but also staying with the organization and still being the bench coach for 2021. I thought that was really cool of him, and I hope him nothing but the best. But there's a lot of things to be fixed with the Fubon Guardians, and this roster, this not just the first team but the second team roster, this entire 60-man roster overall between the Fubon Guardians and the CTPC brothers, there's a huge gap. And Cho Chang did a great job managing the 2020. Bring the brothers to a Taiwan series, but that's also on the back of a really, really strong roster and a very, very strong organization, a very, very invested organization that has the best by far infrastructure to develop players in the nation. So yeah, there will be a lot more challenges, and I'm excited to see how Cho Chang-rong and Lin Hua-wei, the new GM of the Fubon Guardians, stick the Fubon Guardians out of the hole, which is quite immense, especially considering how much money they've poured in it. All right, free agency, CPL free agency. On December 6th, which is 4 days ago, so it will be Monday, the CPBL released the list of players eligible to file for free agency. Now, this is a big deal because it is very much an owner's league in the CPBL. And following are the rules for a player to be eligible to claim free agency in Taiwan. After you're drafted or signed by a particular team, you have to play under that team for a total of 9 seasons. Not 9 years, 9 seasons. And in order to, you know, what does a season mean? So if you play more, if you are on the first team roster for more than 125 days a season, so that's about 4 months a season. So that's about half a season, right? If you're in the first team roster for more than half of that season, then that's considered 1 year under your belt. Okay, and you need to play 9 seasons under the team. Basically, you have to play 9 seasons on the first team in order to claim free agency. If you graduated from college, graduated, not just went to college, but graduated from college, you need to play for 8 years. So you have you just have to play 1 year less than other players who probably claim free agency, who declare for the draft after high school, and so it's a long way to claim free agency. And then after you claim free agency, if you decide to not sign with a new team, so for example, if I play for the Rakuten Monkeys, I declare free agency, but then I re-signed with the Monkeys, then I won't be able to claim free agency for another 4 years. And that's the same with if you switch teams. So if you declared free agency and if you go to another team, then you can't claim free agency again for another 4 years, 4 seasons. So you have to play 4 seasons. So you can probably, you know, by the time you're eligible for free agency, you're 30 years old, 30, 31 years old. And then you're like, oh, okay, I can, but the second time you claim free agency would be like 34, 35. And that would probably most likely be on the back end of your career. And then after you claim free agency, you can go, what if I don't resign with the same team, which is, you know, what free agency is all about. But in the CPBL, there's another barrier. So for example, I play for the Monkeys and I decide to sign with the Uni Lions, and not only do the Lions obviously have to compensate my salary, you know, because I play for them, but the Lions are obligated to spend a transfer fee. I think transfer fee is probably the best way to explain it. It's a little bit like, kind of be like Europe, where you give money in exchange for a player. You have to give transfer fee to the old team. So in my case, if I played for the Monkeys, I declared free agency, I signed with the Lions, the Lions have to pay a transfer fee to the Rakuten Monkeys. As far as I know, the transfer fee is 1.25 times my year-long salary for my last year. So if I played in 2021 and my and I made $1 million, a million and New Taiwanese dollars in with the Monkees in 2021, and I changed and I switched team to the Lions, and the Lions have to pay $1,250,000 NTD to the Rakuten Monkees. Now, the players earn a lot more than $1 million. They earn a lot more than $1 million, especially those that play on the first team for so long that they are eligible to claim free agency. So, normally players that's that kind of caliber makes a lot more money, and therefore the transfer fee is a lot higher. But there is an option B, which is and it's so for me, if I transfer from the Monkees to the Lions, then the Monkees get to choose between taking $1 million and 250,000, so 1.25x of my year-long salary from the year before, or they can take 75% of my salary, my year-long salary. But then they get to choose a player. They get to pick a player from the Lions roster, and the Lions can in turn have like a 25, I think it's 25 man. It's basically a protection list of players that they don't want to be drafted. They don't want the Monkees to draft, right? So with the latest example we had was Lai Hongcheng from last year, who transferred from the Fubon Guardians to the Rakuten Monkees, and the Guardians decided to go with option B, and they picked Yang Recheng, an infielder from the Monkees, over. That's how complicated and how many barriers there are for a player to switch teams. So far, there's only been 15 players. It's the FA thing has been going on for a decade. There's only been 15 players that declared for free agency, and only three of them has actually changed teams. One is Miguel Ake, one is Zheng Dahong, and one is Lai Hongcheng from last year. It's most of them have gone pretty well. I would say Miguel Ake has his fair share of controversy with the with the CTBC brothers. Lai Hongcheng has done pretty well in the first half of the season, but struggled a little bit as well in the latter half of the season. But the opinion is still out there for Lai Hongcheng's transfer, and we'll see what happens there for the next few seasons. There's another final what's nugget, right, for this whole FA thing, is that Miguel Ake, Lin Zhisheng, he's eligible to claim free agency again. He's already done it after the 2015 season, and he's eligible to do it again. And part of the rules of it, for Miguel Ake, is that because he claimed it the second time, that his transfer fee will be half of what it normally would be. So his transfer fee, I believe, is around 3.25 million, which NTD, which is about $100,000. That compared to a lot of other players right now in the FA market, it's a lot more cost efficient, for sure. Okay, so his transfer fee is 3.9 million NTD, which is about $130 US dollars, which is a lot cheaper than a lot of other players, for sure. But also his age is up there. He's shown some splashes of his hitting abilities in the last couple of games of the season, but again, he's probably the most cost efficient player out of all. And there is a total of 24 players eligible to claim free agency. Notably, though, there are four players that won't be able to claim, not because they're not eligible, but because they're on multi-year deals that includes Lions, Gao Guoqing, and Tang Zhaoting, and then for the Monkeys, Guo Yinwen and Wang Yizheng, right? So these are the four players that, even though they're eligible to file free agency by the league, but they're on a multi-year deal, so they're contractually obligated to not file for free agency. And so I want to rank the remainder of the FA by tier, and there are three tiers I want to rank them in. There are a lot of players that I don't see them transferring because I don't think anybody will pick them up. So it's probably just better for them to negotiate with their own team. But there are three tiers of free agency I feel like would be at least, obviously the higher your tier is, there's more reason for you to really consider FA and then negotiate for a bigger contract. In tier one, I would put Chen Hongwen, the Guardians pitcher, who's officially finished his eighth season, and because he graduated from college, he's eligible to file free agency, and he's also not on a multi-year deal. The second tier one is Chen Hongwen, and maybe, you know what, I'll put him there. So Chen Hongwen and Nigel Ake and Guan Dayuan. I think those are the three in tier one. Tier two, very, very easy. Lin Hongyu, Lin Yiquan, and Chen Yuxun. Chen Yuxun is the closer or the bullpen pitcher for the Rakuten Monkeys. Lin Hongyu, the longtime power catcher for the Rakuten Monkeys. And Lin Yiquan, the long time first baseman for the Fubon Guardians. Lin Hongyu has been in the league for 11 seasons, but he never claimed free agency. Neither has Lin Yiquan, who has played for 13 seasons. And I'm going to explain why, even though... And I think there's a good chance that especially for Lin Yiquan, to not claim free agency this year. And then tier three is everybody else. And I really, when I first saw the list, I really hope that Tang Zhaoting would have... I probably would have put Tang Zhaoting at least tier two, maybe tier one, but since he's on a multi-year deal, and good job by the Lions for locking him up, actually, that he's not able to file for free agency this year. There's also Malongi Pong. I would put that right in between tier two and tier three, and I'll explain why. And I'll go through each player right now. Nigel Ake, starting with Nigel Ake, I think that's a no-brainer. Very, very good price for a really good veteran presence in your locker room. If you're a young team like the Weichuan Dragons, there's no reason for you to not contact the CTPC brothers and Nigel Ake to see if they want to if he's interested in transferring. He is kind of old, right? He is up there in terms of age, and it's tough. There are clear pros and cons with him. He's trying to break. He's one home run away from breaking the CPBL record for number of home runs hit by a single player in his career. He's also trying to push for number 300. He's at 289 right now. So he's gonna go out there and try to play as hard as he can. But he's only seen so much on the field action lately that will he be really that able to go out there and compete at that level consistently? I think is a big issue. But if you're the Weichuan Dragons, you don't really care about that because you're still trying to play young players, and you will bring Nagel Ake as a DH probably to play three or four days a week, and for the other 2 or 3 days a week, you put in Gilik Lau Gong Guan, who's been part time catcher, part time DH in 2020, and obviously you wanted him to catch more, but if you want to give him a break here and there, he's a good player to take over that DH spot for you. And so I would say Nagel Ake and Gilik Lau Gong Guan switching out for the DH spot. And then, I don't see why it's not a bad deal for me. I think it is a good one for the Waging Dragons to pick up. And I'm thinking about other teams. The Rakuten Monkeys will probably go after him for like the whole nostalgia, because Nagel Ake is a Lamigo Monkey legend. But I don't see a fit on the field for Nagel Ake on this roster. There's already a lot of good hitters that their primary role is to hit, and as they go up in age, they will take more reps at DH. I think the Monkeys are probably a year or two away from what the Fumon Guardians are facing right now, which is they have a team full of DHs. And Nagel Ake, if they sign him, he would only add to that problem. But I do see the Monkeys signing him for the whole nostalgia kind of feel. But the one thing I would worry about if I'm the Monkeys is, what if the brothers choose option B and he takes one of their players? I do think that there are more than 28 players on this roster that are better than Nagel Ake, and so therefore you're just giving the brothers a free upgrade, plus the money that he's going to take from you. And so, and you need to somehow at least give Nagel Ake a salary that's comparable to his salary in 2020, which is really high. You know, he signed a really good contract with the brothers after 2015. So I see a lot of barriers for the Monkeys to sign Nagel Ake, but not really. But I do still see the Monkeys signing him for the whole nostalgia. You know, he's a Monkey legend. You want him to finish as a Monkey. I don't see the Lions signing him. I don't see the Fumon Guardians signing him. So I think it's between the brothers, Dragons, and potentially the Monkeys. If I'm a Dragons GM, I'll definitely ask Nagel Ake if he's interested. And they need power, man. The Dragons lineup needs power, and Nagel Ake gives you that. So, that lineup has a lot of players that can get on base, but not a lot of hitters that can take the ball out of the ballpark. And Nagel Ake is going to be one of those. It just depends on how much the coaching staff and the organization likes Nagel Ake. I think that's something I don't know, and I think that could be a potential barrier there. So that's Nagel Ake. The second one is Guan Dayuan, another one, and the player in Tier 1. Guan Dayuan has shown a lot of improvements in the CPBL in 2021, and became the comeback player of the year. Now, one of the landmines of comeback players of the year is, I feel like a lot of the times comeback player of the year, they win that award because they had a really good season, and then they kind of go back to what it was before, which is, you know, like, or take a dip from that performance. A-Rod had a huge 2015, and when he came back in 2016, like, he was gone. So, you know, and I think a lot that's I think that's a potential worry point for me. But Guan Dayuan reportedly only makes $200,000. I'm talking all in New Taiwanese dollars here. So he's reportedly, his transfer fee would be $3 million NTD, which is 100K. That is a very good price for a pitcher that threw 66 innings. And besides 2020, you know, Guan Dangyan also threw 54 innings in 2019. He had a 4.7 ERA in 2019, but that was during the juice ball era. This year, his ERA kind of, he started out really good, and then the ERA started go up and up and up, and ended with a 3.14 ERA. But if you're a team needs some bullpen help, which almost every single team, probably besides the brothers, but even the brothers' case, you know, every single team, the CBBL, and here's a theory of mine. If I get to manage a team one day, here's a theory of mine. When you manage a Taiwanese baseball team, if you find a quality pitcher, if you find a quality domestic pitcher that you can rely upon in more situations than not, doesn't matter if it's relief pitcher or a starter, you go after him. You go after him because there's only so many of them out there. It's rarer than you think, right, to have a domestic pitcher that you can rely upon. And for Guan Dangyan, he has the experience. He showed you he has the stuff. And if you don't pitch him like literally every other 2 days, like the brothers were doing for a while, I think he's a good piece for your bullpen. And who doesn't need bullpen help? Like I feel like if you ask fans of every CBBL team, everybody would go, "We need bullpen help," and because there's the depth of pitching, especially domestic pitching in the league, is just not there. So when I play out of the park baseball and I manage the Monkeys, well, obviously the trading and the FA mechanisms in that game is totally different from in real life. But if there is a pitcher that's Taiwanese and you can rely upon and has good talent, and you overspend for that, you do. Because there's a lot of talent on the hitting side in the league and not a lot of talent on the pitching side, especially domestically. So you go after, and that is also why I put Chen Hongwen in tier one. Chen Hongwen has been had a really, really good season. And Chen Hongwen, let me try to find where is the, yeah, okay. Chen Hongwen's transfer fee is gonna be around $7.5 million new Taiwanese dollars. So that translates to about $250K USD. That is manageable, in my opinion. That is a very manageable price to give. If you go with option B, then it will be 4.5 million, which is about $1,500,000. That is a very manageable price for a really, 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 really good domestic. I would even say Chen Hongwen is probably, let me try to run through my head. Chen Hongwen is probably the best domestic pitcher, especially in the second half of the season, that the league saw in 2021. He pitched, when he started, he always go deep into it. That's what she said. A lot of 7-inning starts, 6-inning starts, a lot of, at one point he even pitched 8 innings. There's a lot of quality starts in there. And he can be a bullpen help. One of the largest surprises for me for Chen Hongwen this year is how quickly and how great he did after he transformed from a closer to a starter, and he just became one of the anchors for that very worrying Fubon Guardians rotation. Again, this is a rotation that only has one foreign starter and one developmental player in Yomar Concepcion, who pitches like 3 or 4 innings an outing. And so Chen Hongwen really became one of the stabilizers for that team. Now, to be fair, Chen Hongwen only started 14 times between 2014 to 2020. So for 6 seasons, he only started 14 times. And he obviously took over the starting pitching role in 2021. So it still depends on how you want to use him if you're a new team. But one thing's for sure, he's proven that he's a quality starter and a quality closer, or at least a very quality bullpen pitcher, and he's a domestic pitcher. So I don't know why you wouldn't try to sign him. Like, I would overspend for him. Like, $7.5 million? Get it. Like, I'll give it to you, and then I'll sign him to a huge deal. I think he would be a great pickup. And I don't know why, like, he's not getting as much buzz out there. He is 35 years old, which is kind of a concern. But if you're going to use him as a starter for a year and then move him to a bullpen spot, he can pitch for a couple more years. I don't think his stuff is going to really deteriorate that much if his velo goes down. I think Chen Yuxun will be more of a worry, that because he relies so much on his spin rate and his velo, that as he ages and as the velo goes down, he's going to be more prone to throwing more hittable pitches. But I don't think Chen Hongwen is one of those. And yeah, Chen Hongwen has his fair share of blown saves in the last couple of years. I'm not going to lie about that. But he's a really quality pitcher that you can use. And every team can use. I think there should be a bidding war for him, personally. I don't think there's much of a downside to signing him, because who doesn't need bullpen help? And who doesn't need domestic pitching? And he's a better pickup than Guan Dayun, because he's much more consistent than Guan Dayun in the last couple of years. So I think he's like the A++ pitcher. He's the A++ pickup he's like the best value by far in free agency, because he doesn't cost a lot of money and he's so good. So that's my tier one. Tier two, Lin Hongyu, Lin Yiquan, and Chen Yuxun. And Lin Hongyu, Lin Yiquan, they're almost tier three because they're so expensive. They're both great players, and if at a better price, almost every team should go for them. But Lin Hongyu's transfer fee is going to be $12 million, so that's $400K. That is the highest. That's the highest transfer fee out of all FAs this year. And Lin Yiquan would be $10 million and $870,000 NTD. So that's about that is around $360,000. And Lin Yiquan is an old man. I was thinking about this, like, the only team that needs a first baseman that desperately would be the Uni Lions. But why would you pick up a 36-year-old first baseman? It just in general, and the Lions are in need of a first baseman, that's for sure. But for me, I would rather continue to try out different players in your organization rather than spending 12 million New Taiwanese dollars plus a very hefty contract, plus a really below average defender at first base, while you already have Gao Guoqing there. I mean, Lin Yiquan is basically, overall, it's a similar player, except you're trading your defense with the offense. Do the Lions need more offense? Probably. But then you still have options in your organization. You can try out at first base rather than spending so much resources on this 36-year-old first baseman that really isn't a great defender. So I don't see Lin Yiquan transferring. Lin Hongyu, the only value he carries, he has a $12 million transfer fee, right? So that's a lot of money. Speaking in New Taiwanese dollars here, is that's a $400K transfer fee. Now, $400K, if you compare to the MLB, that's not a lot. But it's apples and oranges if you compare the CPBL to the MLB. So, so Lin Hongyu is an aging catcher that has great, great hitting abilities. And so let's go around the league. The Fubon Guardians has a power catcher in Zhang Jingde, so they don't need Lin Hongyu. The Weizhen Dragons have Gidi Lao Gongguan, who's a younger version of Lin Hongyu, so we don't need him there. They don't need him there. The CTBC brothers probably would want him, I think. But they're okay. They're good with Chen Jiajun and Gao Yujie, but neither of them really stood out, right? Like they don't have that primary catcher, so they probably would want a hitting catcher. But and also the brothers to the DH, so Lin Hongyu can be that DH spot and sometimes taking over the catching spot, you know. The Lions will probably want a power hitting catcher, but I don't see the Lions spending that much that amount of resources on one player. And obviously the Monkeys. So the only team I think has a shot that has the resources and has the overall need for a power catcher that can also play a lot of DH would be the CTBC brothers. But their history of signing veteran players hasn't panned out that well. So we'll see what happens there. But again, if any team in this league is going to spend 12 million New Taiwanese dollars on a transfer fee for a power catcher, it would be the Fubon Guardians or the CTBC brothers. Now, the Fubon Guardians have their own power catcher, so I could see the brothers doing it, but the possibility is still very low, in my opinion. And plus the fact that the brothers, I was gonna say the brothers 28-man roster. Outside of the 28-man roster, I think most players outside of that, aren't better than Lin Hongyu right now, but they certainly would have more potential. So, the brothers, yeah, but they do have a lot of those players. So I don't know. Maybe that's not as big of a concern as Chen Yuxun, which I'm going to get into. I don't see Chen Yuxun transferring. I did say that if you can find a reliable domestic pitcher, you go for him. The problem is, he's not one of them. I don't think Chen Yuxun is that good anymore. If you look at what his repertoire was in his prime, it was a lot of high spin rate and high velo, you know, good velo with high spin rate, good movement, two-seamers and splitters, and not two-seamers, I guess those are the same thing, splitters and fastballs. But Chen Yuxun's velo is not there anymore. And it's really clear. His last two seasons, the velo is not there. And he gets hit a lot. Can he find his velo back or anything? Yes. And I thought he might have. I thought he could have after the 2020 season. I thought maybe 2020 was just a bad year, but he struggled as much in 2021 as he did in 2020. Now Chen Yuxun has a heavier price tag than any of those two players. His transfer fee, if he did the 1.25x, would be $8,700,000 NTD. That is a million more than Cheng Hongwen, who's proven to be a good starter and a closer in 2021. And if you choose option B, his transfer fee is up to $7 million. So, there's a lot of buzz around him and his FA and his free agency. But
to me, his stuff relies so much on velo and his spin rate, but we haven't, that has deteriorated so much in the last 2 years that I'm not sure if he would show the same, his value would be there. And again, if you're assigning him, okay, if I see him as a, like a, I see him as a seventh inning or eighth inning setup man at best. At best might be a little bit too harsh, but I see him as a seventh or eighth. I don't see him as a closer as of right now, especially if you consider around the league, the Lions have a better closer than Chen Yushu and Chen Yunwen. The brothers have a better closer and CC Lee. So those two teams don't need him as a closer. The Guardians might need him, but then if they keep Chen Hongwen's a better closer than Chen Yuxun, and the way Chen Dragons, I don't know what their plan is with Tozawa, but they would probably want Chen Yuxun on their roster in that case. But so I see him as a 7th or 8th inning man, okay? And if you look around the league, especially if you're, so I don't see the brothers going after him, because you look at, first of all, his price tag. Okay, let's assume they're willing to pay that price tag, but it's the Monkeys that would determine whether they want option A or option B. If they go for option B, and you look at the CTPC brothers roster, there are considerable number of players outside of that 25 or 28 man protection. Doesn't matter what the number is, 25 or 28. There are a lot of players outside of that roster that's an upgrade from Chen Yuxun, in my opinion. They're probably not better as of right today, but you're trading a bullpen arm for an everyday player that has really good potential. At the very least, I mean, that's what the brothers roster is full of. There's players with a lot of potential. The Monkey second army team is full of veteran players. And they're desperate to find players with potential that they can use for their second army team. And the brothers are full of those players in their second army team. So I don't see the brothers definitely not signing him. Guardians maybe, but another thing to consider is that Chen Yuxun is his social media presence is a little bit more unorthodox in Taiwan, and with a lot of the Taiwanese teams, especially their ownership corporation, caring more about the public image of the team rather than the profitability of the team. Even let's just assume, because I don't even think any player in the league, probably besides one or two, has the ability to make a difference in ticket revenue or jersey revenue. I don't think there's a single player in the league that can do that. Probably for the Dragons, if you choose like Shiroshi or stuff like that. But I don't think there's a single player in the league, let alone a relief pitcher, that makes a difference in jersey sales and ticket revenue. Just because of the culture, or the sports culture in Taiwan not being as developed and not being there yet. Okay. Not knocking on any of the players. This is not like the players are in the baseball fan circle in Taiwan. Those players are superstars, okay? But that's such a small audience that they're not changing. They're not moving the needle in terms of ticket revenue and profitability for a franchise, okay? That's just not there. That's the sports culture is just not there. So even if, okay, but let's move that out of the way. Even if, let's just assume that a relief pitcher can help with the profitability of a franchise. I'm just laughing the way after even when I say it. Because teams don't earn money. Because teams don't profit, they count this as as Rob loves to say, and he said it numerous times on my podcast. They care more about this public image and a social image of their team and their players, and an unorthodox player, a player with an unorthodox social media presence. Would that have to do something with? With the decision making for the teams, I think so. Especially the clubhouse culture, the player culture, is a lot more conservative in Taiwan. Especially for the brothers, I mean, they have they have a very conservatively and traditionally thinking head coach. With a very very traditional culture of training and methodology, I don't see the brothers going after him. I think the Fubon Guardians, they don't want another loud player in the clubhouse. If I were to guess, so maybe I would be a little bit more cautious of signing Chen Yuxun. Dragons, maybe, again, the Dragons need veterans and they need leadership and stuff like that. And I think Chen Yuxun will be a great player to for those young players to interact with, because I think he's a really cool guy to interact with. And I think him with the Dragons and will be able to reunite with his good friend Liu Shihao. I think the Dragons might go after him. I can see that. I don't see the Lions doing it at all. I don't think they want. I don't think they have the resources, or they want to spend the resources to get a relief pitcher for 8.7 million New Taiwanese dollars, and I don't see it happening, and so I think the Dragons maybe, but again, Dragons are in a particular situation because they are in need for veteran presence in their clubhouse. They need pitching depth. So, when you think about free agency and the pitcher player additions for the Weizhou Dragons, they are on, their radar is a little bit different, than any of the other four teams. So that is it for Tier 1 and Tier 2. Again, just to go through, I think Tier 1 is Nigel Ake, Guan Dayun, and Chen Hongwen, and I think out of those, if I get to throw money at any of those players, I throw the most money at Chen Hongwen. I think Nigel Ake has a really good cost profit balance because he's so cheap. His price is very cheap. Not that he's cheap. Tier B would be Lin Yichuan, Lin Hongyu, and Chen Yuxun, which I think the first two, I don't see them transfer because of the heavy price tag. It's similar with Chen Yuxun, but I there is a lot more buzz around Chen Yuxun in among the media for his free agency than any of the other players. So maybe we'll see him transfer. Maybe we'll see him have a bidding war. But personally, I wouldn't bid for him, especially if I'm. If one day I am the head of the teams like the CTBC Brothers and the Fubon Guardians. And also just to remind you that Guo Yanwen, Tang Zhaoting, Wang Yizheng, and Gao Guoqing are not able to file a free agency because they have a multi-year deal. So there's that. That's my overall impressions of the FA this year. Decided to focus on some of the top players because, again, after those, I don't see any of the other players filing for free agency this year. So, yeah, thank you so much for listening to this very long episode of Rants with Danny Shi, and we'll see you guys next time.